to Knotcast, episode 273, T-minus 1 week.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
All the screaming.
And all the flailing.
Not really.
Maybe on your part, Mr. Video Game Room.
Hey, on mine, I want you to know that some point this week, I have to take the time and effort to unlock all the characters in Smash Brothers for the GameCube. Mm-hmm. All of them. That's going to take me, like, a few hours.
It's like a really big responsibility, God.
Because if I don't have everybody unlocked, people will tell me I suck.
I thought you already did that last year.
I did it for the game, for the Wii version.
Oh.
I got given a GameCube mm-hmm. by a fan.
Oh, dear.
And they sent some games and stuff, and they sent memory cards, but they didn't have any, like, save data for the GameCube version of Smash. So I have to unlock everything.
Good luck. Godspeed, man.
Yeah. Yeah, I kind of understand you have a little bit bigger responsibility to the cons.
I think my square footage is about 5 times yours.
Probably.
Oh, now, and Shiva, that's no way to say that. I mean, you know, I've got a little square footage, too. You know, I've been thinking of dieting.
You know, when you downsize, you know, it's like when you go to IKEA and they have those, this is my 575 square foot home. And you're like, shit, I could live in that kind of space. See, that's, but you're just like, I need the whole ballroom plus some.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jeez. I got needs.
So many entrances, just like a kitchen cat.
Like the artist alley is like the sunroom. It's the lanai.
Yeah. Free Fiesta is in a week from when we record.
A week.
At this point, next week, we will not be recording. We will be setting up.
Mm-hmm.
By this point, if my gaming room isn't set up, I'll be like way behind and wondering where my helpers were.
By this time next week, I should have dealers setting up.
Yeah, yes. So I should be setting up staying out of the way of Tyrion setting up, which is more likely case.
Go sit over there and eat your sandwich.
Okay.
I've got it, honey.
Yeah.
His honeys can get a little pointed when he wants you to go.
Got it.
Oh, she's noticed that.
Yes, honey.
I've noticed that. When he's in a romantic mood, I'm his husband, but when he's mad at me, he forgets and I get downgraded back to boyfriend.
Oh, man. Like,
he was like, and I'm like, I'm your husband. He's like, no, right now you're not. This is badger love.
Any closet.
He needs to like officially just change the badger from wolf because, you know, he is so badger.
I guess it does fit him, but I'm like, I don't really want him to. Mm-hmm. Fully accept that.
Accept his badgerhood.
Yeah, I mean, that's why we have Fez as an outlet for the badger nature.
I'm pretty sure badger's taking over. He's a badger with, like, a wolf hat. Only that's a bad.
No. No. Don't say those words. You're totally triggering me.
So, yeah, it's been a little bit since we recorded. Last week, we had a bit of a disaster.
Flood!
We had a very brief freeze that was just enough to, like, crack the head on a sprinkler outside my office window that flooded, like, 3/4 of the carpet in here.
I saw the picture.
For an entire weekend, it started Thursday night, and I had to pull everything out of here. It really sucked. And had to, like, the very next morning, I had to, guy came in, pulled up the padding, put down the squirrel cage fan, the dehumidifier, and I had to let that shit run for a weekend. And I moved my computer out to its old spot out there, but I couldn't really record anything. The recordings I did do had too much background noise, even with the door closed. I had to scrap like 4 videos. God. That sucked. And so, yeah, just like murdered my productivity for the weekend. But thankfully, the office complex came and took care of it like right a fucking way.
Well, they kind of got it because if they don't get it out of here,
building damage, mold. Yeah,
the dreaded black mold.
You know, and long after you move out, like the apartment's uninhabitable because it got moldy or something like that. So it behooves them to get on that pretty quickly.
GTFO.
Yeah. So that was why we didn't record last week.
And I haven't recorded since you guys came back because, oh my God, Fiesta.
Yep. You're in crunch time.
I've been in a crunch time since the first of the year. Because, at least for dealers, there's a big lull between when I onboard everybody over the summer and then now. Well, once December, New Year's, I think New Year's is like the start of it. I have to do the layout, wait for people to give me their feedback, do another layout, fix that one, fix that one, fix that one, send out one reminder, then another reminder, then another reminder, and yes, you guys are still not paying attention, another reminder.
Yeah.
Here's my list of 20 people that I don't want to be near.
Yes.
I don't actually do that.
Half the den wanted to sit next to Laura Garabedian. It's like I can put, there's a small corona of Laura-ness that I can accommodate.
Uh-huh. So you put one table in the middle and you put eight around her.
So then she ends up selling nothing because nobody can penetrate the wall of artists around her. Yes. And she's like, this is nice, but it also really sucks.
Yeah, it's like I want to sit next to Laura. It's like, and then me too. Mm-hmm. Like, oh my God, I can only do so many, and then there's 6 degrees of Laura. It's like, I don't know.
I know there's a couple of her Colorado friends that are coming out to the con too. So they probably want to sit together, I guess.
Yeah, my parents were like, who did they stick me next to? And they're asking me, it's like a fursuit maker and like Fox and Warren and Pepper Cody.
Yeah.
Okay, they're safe.
Yeah.
I scream people. She even knows
not to stick my.
Put them next to the dildo station or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, I usually very carefully put your parents next to PG people.
Yeah, and I explained to them who they were, and she's like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what's this Perry's Penetrables that we're next to?
Fetish Zone? That's not descriptive enough.
Put them. Shive Studios, because they bring their little girl. Yeah, there's a whole list of people where I know that they are PG only. I try to put other PG near them.
You kind of have the the PG ghetto kind of. And I don't say that in a bad way, but like you have the PG stuff all together, and then there's everybody else.
Well, there's folks
surrounding them, going, look at my dick.
I've got PG people who only want to be near PG people. I've got PG people who don't care. So I kind of put the people who want to be isolated in the middle, and then I kind of put the people who don't care around the edges, so that whoever they're next to. I've got a lot of fursuit bits and parts people this year.
Yeah.
So.
We'll see.
I have a lot of
fursuit bits.
Well,
if you want to add a penis.
Ears, tails, the people who do tongues. Or the noses, the resin casting.
Yeah, those are really cool.
Yeah.
I mean, they're very specialty parts.
Yeah.
It's like you look at
I custom commission some paws, is that a hand job?
Yes.
Okay.
I just want to make sure.
I saw at RMFC, which is the last con I went to, there was a couple people had some pretty neat, fursuit noses and whatnot. Like, it's like, if you're not happy with the nose on your fursuit, replace it with one of ours. And it's that's actually kind of neat.
It's like computer parts.
Yeah.
My fursuit needs a new video card.
Let's see. So
I had a bigger heat sink. Holy shit, I'm roasting in this thing.
I'm actually doing 3 panels this year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Well, I've now got someone to mostly watch the den, which is Glar. And I've got someone to mostly watch the artist alley, which is Rama. So I'm bouncing between. So I'm doing one after 10 hours, which is a WoW and MMO player meet and greet.
I'm good with that.
Noxie and Glar are going to be doing it, and Sarah. Plus, it looks like we're going to have one of the actual folks from Blizzard's coming out.
Oh.
I don't know if we can advertise that yet.
No, you probably shouldn't.
Probably shouldn't. But he'll be there. He's a furry, so
he'll
be here on the down low.
Cool.
I'm doing, of course, oh God, this is funny. So I was looking at the schedule. It's like, oh, hey, there's a checkout panel. And sketch.org goes up, and I open it up, and, Sarah opens up. It says you're running it. It's like, all right, I asked to do that months ago because people kept asking for one.
Ah.
It's like, because I was like, ooh, I'm going to have to find time to get all that in. Yes, because you're running it, dumbass.
I was just going to jokingly say, why aren't you running that? And then you're like, oh, okay.
See.
And, of course, doing tea time on Sunday.
Yes.
Cool.
Which is apparently really popular, because as soon as I mentioned it, it's like, yay!
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Well, I'm actually pretty happy. I've got two people helping me this year.
Oh, wow.
Now, will they actually show up and help? I don't know. But basically, I still have to open it, I still have to close it, and I have the morning shift, but they wanted to work afternoon and evening, which mm-hmm. means I have, like, vast chunks of the con I could actually, like, attend shit. It's mm-hmm. crazy. I've never been able to do that at Fiesta.
Well, this year I've gone...
I'll probably end up behind Fuzz's table at some point.
My department has actually grown three people. Like I've said, I've got Gar and Rama, and then I've got Shelby from out in Tennessee,
cool.
who's going to be mostly helping Rama. So there will be me, Sarah, and Siam to bounce between the different areas to help up. But we've almost doubled this year in... staffing, so
that's good.
Yeah, I'll be, well, I have two people this year. That's two more than I've ever had, so I'm excited.
Yay.
I don't have to be begging Keo, well, because I don't beg Keo anymore, whoever's in charge of volunteers right now.
Bear
for people to cover me so I can go get food.
Have you guys seen the banner I did for the main gallery?
I have not.
I'll let me bring it up on my phone, but because we have the alley out in the main gallery, and it's really grown this year. Last year we had 18 seats. This year we've got 52.
Holy what shit!
Where the hell did all those chairs come?
No, seats go. That's actually last year we had a really odd layout because
you did.
I wasn't really trying to grow it last year, and we had way more demand than we've ever had before, especially considering I just almost added a third on more to the den.
Mm.
But we got really high demand last year, and we couldn't accommodate them. So this year, the goal is to have enough seating so that if people want to sit and work, they can. So no matter what grade skill they are, whether they're a big name, like we had Bonk come a couple of years to sit in our
mm-hmm.
alley, and some of the other names who didn't hear in time to get into the... Or if you just want to, you know, you're just breaking in and you're just doing some badges. They need to make a couple bucks to cover your con attendance. But we had such a backlash last year over our alley seating. It was actually a really big PR.
Well, that and people were getting up at like 3 in the morning to sit in line.
Yeah, and we also, last year first year we did first come, first serve, and it was okay. Not too many people filled it out. Second year, we again did first come, first serve, and I had people lining up at 5 a.m. and we started to notice that this was going to be a problem if we kept going the way we were going. So first year I had 18 dealers. Okay, yeah, and then second year we moved to another room and I did 30. And fourth year we of course moved up to the big ballroom at the Crown Plaza.
It was like 48.
Yeah, 48, 50. So the year that we expanded it, doubled it out again, we moved to lottery system for the alley. And it went to Ghost Town.
Yeah.
Between we had a whole bunch of people who were in the alley the first 2 years, suddenly in the den, and a bunch of other people saying, oh, I don't want to try because I might not get in. It was Ghost Town. I didn't sell out on Saturday when we went to lottery. We had plenty of seats. At that point, we weren't doing lottery. We were doing, okay, you want a table? Go have a table. So it ended up being lottery, but it scared so many people away, we scrapped it. And we went back to first come, first serve, and it went back to the high demand. And then when we went to the Intercontinental, demand skyrocketed. I have never seen that many people. We had more seats at the Intercontinental, but not that nearly enough. And I had like 45 people looking for a seat.
Yeah.
And this was on Friday morning. I come staggering upstairs. And I get out to the alley, and I look, and it's like, holy crap, this is not going to be good. Of course, at that point, I just got back from my mom's funeral, and I really wasn't in the mood to deal with any of this bullshit. So we had a huge PR backlash led by a couple of big-name artists who ended up out there. And I'm not going to name names, but they were very vocal, and it got us a lot of backlash over it.
So, I guess I'm not following the right people or something. I didn't really see any kind of feedback.
This year we decided, okay, how many can we stick out there with this? Okay, let's take a little off of it, and we'll use the larger tables to cut down on a little bit more because we use 8 foots instead of sixes, which is what we had been doing. So we're raising up to, it's going to be about 50, to 54 seats. I forget how many. Rama's taking up two, so I think that drops it down to 52 seats. So
it's about the same size as the dealer's room.
Kind of, but they only get, the difference is that they only get 4-foot by 4-foot sections, so a seat is not a table.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
It's a half a table, so it's, so it's like 27 tables. Mm-hmm. So 26 tables. So it's a 4-foot by 4-foot square. They don't get to put up racks or anything behind them. It has to stay on the table in their little square.
Mm-hmm.
They don't get power, and of course they have to pick up whenever they wander away. Yeah. So,
I'm just looking at the list on Wiki for listing conventions by attendance, and it's entirely possible that we could end up in fifth place by the end of this year.
Yeah, it's like we bounce in and out of fifth place depending on where the cycle has gone for the year.
Mm-hmm.
So I know we're aiming for about 2,200. That's about how much the numbers that we've been prepping for, which will be a good growth on last year, which was like 18 and change.
1884.
So almost 1,900 last year. So going up another three is pretty good.
Yeah. I've heard that from the way the pre-reg looks, though. I mean, they're thinking we might hit 23 or 24.
That would be fine with me. But so anyway, so I'm overhauling the alley. I'm trying to make sure it's really big. And I was going to pull up that picture for you guys. So one of my big things was, okay, you're coming up the escalators from the first floor. And you're going up. And then suddenly kind of the crystal foyer, mm-hmm. which is that big open spot in front of the ballrooms, comes up. And it's like, you know, it would be really kind of awesome if we do, like, some kind of, like, welcome banner. So it's kind of like, you've arrived, you know, type thing. So I ended up...
Welcome to furry.
Actually, that's kind of what I ended up doing. Let me...
Prepare your anus.
No, that's we don't have those dealers
this
here.
This is hell. Let's you.
That's what it says on the panel room for the 18 and over panel. In fact, that should have been the name of Avery's sex panel. Should have just been Prepare Your Anus.
I don't think that's that's safe enough to put on the schedule for public.
Oh, I got a text of be like, oh my God, I thought of a better title for your panel.
Yeah. I'll actually be able to attend my own
convention. I know.
It's so weird.
Well, I know Friday night that person from Blizzard where he's a big foodie, so we were going to take him out to Heart Eight for real Texas barbecue. And we're also, this is the big, big thing that my household has been doing. Sarah's been, was given permission / source to find food trucks for Fiesta. Yes.
I've heard, I've seen some stuff about this, yeah.
So we've been, he's been contacting them. He's got a little bit of a late start because apparently they book really far out. So he's been in contact with a whole bunch of different food trucks, and so far he's gotten in for Friday Oinkamoo Barbecue, and what's the other one? He just confirmed it. Oh, Eat Joe Dogs, which is hot dogs, bratwurst, all that other stuff. But yeah, Oinkamoo Barbecue it's barbecue. You know, it's you get what you get.
Pork and beef. Oh yeah.
Let's see. Saturday was, it's just this kind of general, I'm trying to remember the sandwich truck, but it's basically, it's kind of fancy sandwiches, burgers, they got steak fries, you know, fries with like a cut up steak on top of them. Jack's Chow Hound is Saturday. Sunday we've got, and I was just doing up the flyer for these too.
I like all these animal-themed company names.
And they were completely random because there's this website where you go and you put your date and what you're looking for, and people contact you back. And these are just the ones that contacted us back, and it was like, huh. On Sunday, we have Hummingbird Sweet Shop, which is whoopie pies, cupcakes, ice cream. And then what's the other one? God damn it. I'm going to think on it and...
You'll remember it at some point during an email, and you'll just blurt it out.
Yeah, that's what it will be.
That's right, Murr and Yiffy's Vegan Chowder House.
No.
Say it, chowder. So I'm, while you're looking for that, I'm doing a couple of panels this year, so I'm just going to go ahead and mention those. On Saturday, I'm doing a publishing Q&A panel, and that's at 12:30. So, you know, show up and I will A your cues about publishing. And then I'm really excited about this one at 10 p.m. It's listed as Unsheathed Live, but it's actually a Not Sheathed. So Kyle and I and possibly Rikoshi are going to do a live combo cast like we've done at a lot of different cons. So we've done that a few times now. And oh, yeah.
So that should be greeting our attendees when they come up the escalator.
Welcome fur fags, it says. Yep. It's lovely.
Uh-huh.
It's got little foxcock icons.
No.
They'll have googly eyes.
Yes, yes.
If I could get those big industrial googly eyes, I would be tempted to just stick them in the middle of the jackalope heads.
Yes.
So they can look down and judge.
There's a Michael's right across the street from the hotel.
Yeah, but they need to be like 6 inches across. You can get them. I just don't know if Michael's has them.
Actually, I was going to suggest a panel to you, Saffron. I thought... you know, because, like, even if you're already doing something, like, with publishing, like, I'll still go to, like, publishing panels occasionally because I like to try to get a different point of view and stuff like that. So on Sunday at 1, Matthew Ebel is doing a panel called Building a Home Recording Studio. Huh. And since he's done that and actually recorded his CDs, his albums at home and then had them mastered, that might be – maybe you could pick up some tips or different sort of thoughts on – the production of it or whatever, you know?
Yeah, I mean, this space is certainly adequate for voice, but I wouldn't want to record music.
Oh, no.
But I'm thinking, you know, he might throw an idea out that you hadn't considered or a slightly different take on something you're already doing. That, you know, since you are doing, I mean, professional work in here with the audiobooks and stuff, so I saw it on here and I thought I'd mention it. I'm thinking of going because, like, audio stuff interests me as well.
I have coverage, I'll go.
Well, you might have coverage.
I should have coverage, but you know, I don't count on it.
Yeah. And we also have that fuck huge concert on Friday night where it's Fox and Pepper and Rhubarb and what's his name? Adams. Alexander.
Banthro, I think they're calling.
Amadia. Yeah. And there's other folks as well, but it's like this just, it's like the, they're basically a furry super group. They actually have an ad in the con book. Oh. Fox had some really cool artwork done for it and everything. So it's like, it's so weird. Like furry, Fiesta sort of become the music con. Mm. Oh, and I think, Matthew Ebel's in that also because he's here. Like all of a sudden we just like, it started last year and then this year it's just kind of grown that we have all these freaking musicians. It's actually
Ratchet
pretty cool.
And Zentra, and they're both very musically inclined dudes and they have a large budget to play with. So
yeah, they've, I know they've set up like a whole, DJ slate as well. So hopefully that turns out well as well. Cause I mean, we have the dances like we usually do. You know, he's got DJs for that, but just, I like the variety of, you know, it's not just all electronica. We've got, you know, the piano musicians, guitar players, you know.
Actual vocal singers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That, I think it's kind of cool.
They don't just hook up their laptop and hit play.
The last food truck on Sunday, that is SoCal Tacos.
I remember
a taco truck.
I remember seeing him mention that. That's awesome. It's Taco Tuesday!
We're still trying to find one more for Saturday. We got a couple of people that we're trying to get confirmations out of.
Mm.
The first one who does that is basically the one that comes in.
Yeah.
They all sound good, so...
You know what I should realize? This episode of Notcast is brought to you by Furry Fiesta.
Well, the reason I'm so excited about taco trucks is they are nearby. Taco trucks, any kind of food, is... I don't have to go across the street to Whataburger or In-N-Out or something. There's going to be actually good food at the con, which, you know, God bless the hotel restaurant, but they are freaking expensive.
Yeah. You know, as a female inclined chat cat, I know exactly why you're more thrilled about taco trucks than you are about In-N-Out.
Well, they also have hot dogs.
Oh, well.
Big, big bratwurst.
Oh, yeah. Slathered with sauce.
So I'm excited about having good food without having to leave the hotel.
That's a really cool idea. I didn't know that you could call and set it up for them to come specifically like that just as an event, because I didn't know if, like, we would really rate as a thing, but we kind of do. I mean, we're going to have over 2,000 people. They'll make their money.
Basically, the hotel charges a fee to bring people in, but it's only $150 per taco truck or whatever.
Food truck.
And sometimes, depending on who it is, if they're really interested in coming, the truck will pay the fee. But we're first year. We don't know what kind of business we're going to drive.
Mm-hmm.
So we're one of the things for Sarah's goals is to keep in contact with the folks and see how they do. I mean, if these are blown off the doors, then we will have a little bit more leverage.
More interest next year.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, man, they should see if they can just drive the truck right into the garden court.
What we have to do is we actually have to use the unused parking lot over to the side around by where Kempe's old nightclub entrance is.
Oh, okay.
So we have to park them over the side. So we're going to need to do lots of signage and lots of advertising to make sure that these guys don't come and then get no business.
Yeah, they're going to be a little bit out of sight.
Yeah, because I imagine a hotel is kind of like not super inclined to put them in a highly visible place.
Well, that and I think they have also glommed on that they're not going to make a lot of food money off us, at least not with their pricing scale.
Mm.
So here's some way to work around it. And we keep telling them, it's like, look, here's our attendees' price points. If you can make this price point, folks won't leave. But you have to do something within their price range.
Yeah.
Like, fuck you, we're 4-star.
And it's like, also, bear in mind that you are in Addison. You have all the competition in the world at every price point imaginable. Can you kind of work with us here to keep people in the building?
You have so much competition. It's not even funny. You have to kind of do something and work a little, not just count on a captive audience.
Yeah.
So
you're just coming in really, really quiet.
Because I've turned my head?
Yeah. Like, you can see, there's your talking, here's my talking, and then there's Fuzz's talking scrolling off over there.
I'm talking. Oh, that's me in the left there. Wow. Yeah, because I tend to lean into my mic.
Right in on your mic.
Yeah.
I am all up on that shit. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sorry, I don't suck cock as much as you do.
We even gave you, like, the dog cock red mic, too.
I know.
So I think on that note, we should probably get to our emails.
We did talk for half an hour.
Oh, no, that's okay. It's like very fast.
It's the all-consuming, it's the
fire.
One reason I haven't been able to make it to Notcast is I made 98 staff shirts.
And they're snappy looking.
They look good. So, yeah, but that's a lot.
Can you make me one, too, as a board member?
Maybe.
Honorary staff shirt. I have to. I'm just kidding. But, and the con, we got to see the con books that Tieran and Zap laid out. And they turned out really nice.
Good.
They've already arrived. Like, Max received them all and everything. And he brought two over so we could take a look. And I actually meant to bring one over, but I just did a quick in and out to my house to grab the iPad and totally forgot.
Oh, I've got the proof for the con shirt in the car.
Oh, cool.
Show us after the show.
Oh, I was going to go get it now.
Okay, we'll go get it now.
Record show.
Record show, okay.
But.
You can show us after the show, and it'll be a surprise for the people.
That they can see it over, vocal.
Yeah, describe it. Those two are really going at it. Super realistic.
Hot damn. Yeah.
Get back to this, BRB. All right, so this first email.
I love the way the cum shot just flows perfectly into the white right sleeve.
Subject, update from the crazy fox in the north. Hey guys, so I wrote in for the first time a while ago. I do believe it was episode 263, if my memory serves me well enough. I was the one who had just purchased my house and was looking for a promotion at my job. I wrote in about requesting help pursuing a girl. Well, I have some good and bad news for you guys. For starters, house ownership is going well. I finally managed to get past being house poor and got rid of my credit card debts. I didn't get the promotion I was expecting, but I did get a different one. But now I now work on a specialized team of 14 people out of the whole company. And now, the part everyone is going to be curious about,
the girl.
Well, here's where things get complicated. She is the shyest girl I've ever met.
What? She's about
the same age as me and has never had a relationship or even kissed anyone, much to the dismay of many of her male friends. Well, I actually asked the first time, and she was so shy to give me an answer the first time. All I got was a maybe, and I'll have to think about it. So I gave it a while and asked again recently. Sort of things get better, but still leave me a little anxious. When I asked her, she was unable to answer me, simply blushed and hid in her sweater. However, later that night, via text chat, she did actually give me a bit more of an answer. Basically, she told me that she really likes me a lot, but that she's scared and nervous and doesn't know if it's love she's feeling, but that it's something she's weighing in her head. So, on that note, that's it for updates to you now. On to another question for you guys. Where do you think I should go from here? As it is right now, I'm giving her time to think about things. I'm not sure how long I should give her this time since she admitted interest in me, as well as how I should ask her. And generally, what do you guys make of this whole scene? Honestly, for the first time in my life, I actually feel like taking things slow with a girl makes me feel comfortable. It's been 6 months since I met her, and we get along amazingly. Anywho, I've already made this more than a wall of text than I needed to, so have fun, big balls. Sincerely, the crazy Arctic fox from up north, Shimo.
Well, don't pursue her. Ask her if she wants to go, you know, hey, you want to go grab some food? Okay. Maybe invite a couple people along and then, you know, take her out and ask her to a movie, you know, like a group thing so she doesn't feel pressured. And then, you know, you can kind of whittle it down from there of, hey, you want to go see X, you know, movie. And you just kind of start it slow and start kind of asking her out more solo. But start with just being her friend. Be her friend, get to know her, hang out with her. Don't necessarily ask on, you know, hey, you know, you want to go out with me, but hey, you want to go hang out. You know, slightly less pressure, slightly less blush inducing.
Yeah.
A lot less pressure about do you like me, yes, no, check a box, and, you know, pass a note. You know.
Yeah. And, you know, people like her are a fairly rare breed, I would think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so this is something that you should approach with a good deal of caution and conservative action. You know, just take it slow.
Be your friend. Yeah, you know, because that's how the best relationship starts. It's somebody you can hang out with and do all the fun stuff. And then, hopefully, if it grows in the more, then, yeah.
I mean, she digs you. Just, you know, she'll has to come to that at her own pace.
Mm-hmm.
Forcing her will only make her run away, I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
Well, trying to force the issue.
Mm-hmm.
That's the better way to phrase that.
Yeah, that did sound a little... I know you're a fox, but really.
Well, here's a short one for me, though I don't have any prayer of pronouncing that name. if you're ever in London and looking for something to do, apologies if you've come across it before. Apparently, it's been around a while. It's regards Fuanar Esro.
Esro Hube. Is okay. A link to a BuzzFeed article
about getting your anus cast in bronze.
I mean, I know they make butthole chocolates.
Yeah, so you can eat someone's ass.
But I guess this is a...
Looking for a special Valentine's Day gift? Have you considered your anus?
Yeah.
on the article.
Yeah, and it's not wanting to load on this. So.
Oh, it's loading just fine. This is Magnus Irvin, the butt magician behind bronze anus molds. And there's a picture.
Okay, so it there. Is the chocolate.
It's a, it looks very similar. Well, I mean, I guess an ass is an ass. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a bronze cast. Oh, he initially began creating anus sculptures in chocolate.
Okay.
After now chocolates, he moved on to metals. The molds are available to anyone who wants their own anus cast or a copy of someone else's anus. Oh my god!
There's a picture of the process.
No, it's an animated GIF of the process.
Wow. Yeah, the touchpad here, this special. Is really out of date firmware. It's not been supported for a long time, so there's shit that's been upgraded. The internet's moved on, but this device is kind of stuck in its time frame. So, like, Google Google Drive doesn't even work on it anymore. It's a pain in the ass.
Here's alternative model Raina Terror, which is a brilliant name, getting her bum cast.
Yeah.
that's weird. Okay. You have the weird email of the week. Congratulations.
The spoke bronze anuses aren't cheap. Irvin charges $1,900 for a custom mold.
But can you really put a price on your anus? Here's a video of the process, which, again, is not safe for work and maybe NSFL.
Well, I mean, you can put a price on your anus. It's called being a prostitute.
But,
it's usually extra.
But, usually you pay extra for that.
I think the next one is up your alley.
Funirar Esrohulb. I had to try and pronounce that just because it is such a
interesting name. I swear he just got a whole bunch of Scrabble tiles and threw them down to see what word.
That's my furry name. Go. Yeah. Okay, subject line is dicks.
Yay.
Hello, Notcast. I asked this on Twitter the other day and got mixed reviews. What is your opinion on dicks in the fandom? By this, I mean animal-shaped dicks or people-shaped dicks. Which do you prefer and why? Anyways, I apologize if this isn't the topic of the week. It's just been something I've been wondering.
Dicks are always on topic.
I'm glad that he's really considering the deep and important questions that plague our time.
Of course.
Rand the Bat.
I don't really give a fuck either way, personally.
I'm kind of indifferent, but it's one of those things where it's like, all right, certain species, you know, you have the canids and you have the horses. Mm-hmm. And then once you start getting past that, animal dicks are kind of weird.
Yeah.
So like,
even horse dicks are kind of weird.
Yeah. And I mean,
especially on wolves and other creatures.
Like, oh, it's got a dick. It's got a flare and a knot. It's a horse cock on a wolf. What the fuck?
It's got a flare and a knot and barbs.
And it's got the duck spiral.
It comes for 30 minutes like a pig.
It kills the partner every time.
It's got two massive fangs full of venom right in the head. So the cum shoots out and then the fangs bite in and they shoot out.
The last fuck you'll ever need.
Yeah.
Anyways.
And it breaks off.
And it grows back. And it gets a new... It's like Highlander. It like gets a new attribute every time.
So it's one of those things that really depends on like the characters depicted.
And the artist's style.
And the artist's style.
And how retarded the person commissioning it is.
Yes. That is a high factor in animal versus person.
And then like there's the people that try to do the
hyper realistic.
Well, like feline dicks. Mm-hmm. They actually have the barbs and they have a function in feline mating. But they put them on like anthro dicks and they look like you're sticking a cactus in your partner.
Jesus Christ. Like, yeah, some people think of barbs and they're like, oh, like on barbed wire. I'll just put that all over my dick, you know? Yeah.
It's like, no.
When in doubt, default to human dicks.
I kind of like somewhere between, you can tell it's not obviously blatantly human,
mm-hmm.
but it's not hyper-realistic, all veiny, you know.
Or finally realistic dog cock red.
Yes. Yeah, I'm not a fan of that either. I like my on my character is the hybrid dick. You know?
Somewhere kind of you can kind of see where both kind
of. Yeah, it's got the the best parts of both human and lupine.
Yeah.
And I kind of like that. I mean, when I'm looking at art, it's like, yeah, I look at the dick, but it's not like a make or break for me on the type. Some people.
There's not a hard line either way.
Yeah. Some people, that's like a really major thing for them. Like, I've actually seen people respond, sigh, pity it's a human dick, you know?
Or,
and I'm just like, shut the fuck up.
They've also, yeah, it's like, ew, it's blah, 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 blah. But, you know, you start getting into the whole, ew, it's bestiality, despite the fact that it's wearing pants and, you know, obviously is not an insentient creature.
Well, then you have, like, the... The things like birds and stuff that don't actually have dicks. They're like, how do I do that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so you get all kinds of the
and then there's debate about whether scalies would have external testicles or not, you know. Yeah. And I'm like, always external testicles. Put those big dangling cum-filled balls all over the place.
Their knees,
like 37
behind their neck.
yeah. You know, I went to the doctor because I was worried. I thought this might be a tumor. No, just another set of testicles coming in. It's perfectly normal. It does explain why my nose is always running, because they're coming in on my neck. So, you come in your partner and then your nose explodes all over their face, and you're like, oh baby, my nose is so sensitive right now.
Anyways,
allergy season feels really good.
Sarah's like, let's move on.
Sometimes I just stick my face in dust to make myself sneeze.
All right, I get the wall of text again.
Yay!
You're saving our readers from me?
Yes.
Holy Christ. Well, I've been
practicing the long reads.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, true.
Summerhill from Bad Dog Books, coming soon.
Oh, yeah.
You've got your endurance built up.
Yeah.
Are you ready for Uncovered, which is a pretty thick book?
He likes those
thick
books.
That's next, after I finish my edits. All right. Subject, am I broken?
Yes. Delete. Next. No. We're making this a short show, damn it.
Hey, not Castadorus. It has been quite some time since I've written in, but I do have another question for you. Sorry, this is going to be a bit of a long one. I feel I need to give you the whole picture for you to give me a definitive answer. I have had many relationships in my life, short as it has been. I feel I have learned from each of my relationships. I also feel that I truly have loved each person I have had a relationship with for my last three relationships. However, when I take a look at the relationships around me and the meanings of those relationships to my friends, I begin to think that perhaps I haven't experienced what I thought I was. When my friends have a breakup, they normally mope around for long periods of time. They talk about feeling depressed, they talk about missing their partner, and for long periods of time, they mention things about that person used to do for it. This normally tends to take longer for people who have maintained a relationship for a longer period of time. One of my earlier relationships was with a girl I'll call Red. I got into the relationship with Red because I liked her and thought she was pretty. I bought Red gifts and took her places as a show of affection, and I didn't really want much in return so long as she continued to hang out with me. This was just before high school, and it fell apart within the year. I didn't feel bad about it, nor did I regret the relationship or the breakup. I didn't mope for more than 15 minutes. At the time, I didn't think it was weird to not mope over what I had lost. The next relationship I had was an online long-distance relationship with a girl who was 3 years younger than me. She told me she was 3 years younger than me 3 months into the relationship, at which time I no longer cared. We were both under 18, age was a number, and I didn't plan on having sex with anyone anyway. That relationship dissolved over time, becoming more of a friendship than anything, and while I felt as though I loved her, I was not sad, only relieved that she had a chance to find someone close to her who could do more for her than I had been able to from such a distance. After that, I went for a long time without any interest in dating or other people until I was about to graduate from high school. At that point, I began dating a girl I'll call Velma. I fell for Velma over a year of acting in drama club and hanging out with her on occasion during lunch. At the same time, I was friends with another girl who I will call Cherry. Cherry and Velma knew one another, but they weren't really good friends. While I was interested in dating either of them, I couldn't really choose. I knew I could always talk plainly to Cherry and she'd give me an answer without judging me. When I told her I really liked her but also liked Velma, Cherry told me to date Velma, saying that she was a better choice. I took Cherry's advice, too dumb to see that I had put her in a situation to sacrifice her own feelings and interests for my sake. I asked Velma out and we started dating. The relationship lasted 5 years. There were many struggles and many happy moments. Whenever she was around, my heart welled with jubilation and I couldn't be happier. I doted on her as much as I could afford to. However, her mother didn't like me being with her. She openly forbade her from coming to visit me and threatened to stop paying for her school tuition when she did. Her mother was an abusive bully, and to this day I hate her for hurting Velma in emotional ways she did. No child should ever be called a failure or an asshole by their parents. I broke up with Velma because I couldn't bear being the cause of her being emotionally abused. I felt like it was the best option. What confuses me is that, though I loved her, I wasn't too distraught when it was over. I didn't cry or start missing her. Life just seemed to go on. My friends wouldn't have noticed if I hadn't told them, or so they say. That's when I started noticing this trend of me not caring about love lost. The only reason I felt sad was because I had hurt Velma's feelings by ending the relationship. There wasn't any pain for me. I was so confused and feel kind of ashamed of myself. I'm not sure if I'm emotionally devoid or heartless or what. In order to feel better and ignore that shame, I told myself that Velma had been too distant, too hard to connect to emotionally. I told myself that maybe I just needed someone to the love felt more mutual with. Throughout the whole time I was dating Velma, I kept in contact with Cherry as a good friend. The both of us had visited and hung out multiple times. Cherry had been in a long-term relationship as well, and that relationship was horrible for her. The man she was with had stood her up on multiple occasions after proposing to her, and had just recently dumped her for a younger girl. I saw this as atrocious, and some part of me felt like I was somehow a better option. In order to try and stop Cherry from dating this guy again and letting him hurt her more, I decided to ask her out. Less than a month after I had broken up with Velma, I had started dating Cherry. I was shocked with how simple it was to gain the same giddy happiness I'd always felt for Velma while Cherry was around. Honestly, felt like I'd fallen in love again. Cherry was shocked as well. She noted that I had no expectation of her to do things like Velma had. Multiple times, she apologized for comparing me to her old boyfriend. A few weeks ago, she decided that we should stop dating, realizing that she wasn't over her old boyfriend. She said it wasn't fair to me that she'd compare the two of us, and she needed more time to actually get over him. This time, I felt a twinge of pain and disappointment, but it was gone so fast I barely had time to recognize it for what it was. I'm still friends with Cherry and Velma, but that's all I feel towards them now. I can't even say I honestly consider them as ex-girlfriends. Am I broken? Am I heartless to the point that I can't honestly feel the pain of love lost? Was I just convincing myself of love rather than actually feeling it for these people? Why can't I feel the downheartedness that people assure me I should feel after a breakup? I'm sorry if this letter was too long-winded, but I can't get over this worry, and I feel like I'll only get a real answer if I share with you what I see as the whole story. Thank you in advance for any advice or speculation you can give. Keep up the podcast. You're all amazing people. Also, have fun at Furry Fiesta. Smiley face. Thanks again, Taryn the Serval. Everybody kind of deals with breakups in different ways. I mean,
by your description, it's a little bit faster of a bounce back, but it is, I don't know if I'd call it broken
or heartless. I mean, it seems like most of these, you had come to the conclusion already to stop the relationship for one reason or another. Like, okay, you mentioned the online long distance thing. It was online. You recognize it as such. She found someone closer to her. It happens. The girl with red, you know, you were young, and so, you know, you didn't get too screwed up over it. You were just a young kid. With Velma, I mean, 5 years? But you also had come to the conclusion that you had been the source of her being emotionally abused. You had, like, disconnected from that before you finally ended it. I mean, this is purely speculation on my part. Now, I mean, in the fourth case here, Cherry broke up with you. And that would be, you know, and you did say you felt a bit of a twinge because she wasn't over her old dude. And also, so,
you know, how long had you been?
Yeah, he said that he hadn't been dating her that long, but
within a year, I think.
Yeah.
They broke up.
Now, it's like, it's also how much of long-term plans had you made with any of these girls, because half of what hurts in a breakup is when you start talking about building a future together.
Long-term.
You know, whether it's kids or cats or house or car or we're going to move this and work together. There's usually that loss of we've made all these plans and suddenly that's all gone because you're gone. The other half of what was building this with me is now gone. I can say this with my own breakups. I mean, that's when me and my husband split up. It's like we had been working to buy a house, and all the future that we had spent like the last 8 years building was thrown away. You know, so it really depends on what kind of relationships you've had with these folks, and you know, how far along the actual relationship had gotten. I mean, that's the only thing I can speculate on. I mean, when it came to Velma, it sounded like you knew that there was issues. There had been issues for a while. I don't know, and you guys said you've been together for 5 years, but you hadn't been living together by the sound, and it doesn't sound like you'd set up the investment of living with someone and building a life together and then having that all ripped away. Some people get more attached to others. I admit that you sound a little bit easily separated from people, but it really depends probably on how you connect with them initially. It sounds like you go through the infatuation part and you enjoy their company. I really don't know. Only you can say if you were truly in love or not.
Yeah. There's also the, like, I mean, we don't know if he's, like, autistic or an Aspie or anything like that. There is a different
connection
there that it may not be the same on that level.
But that doesn't mean it's bad or off. It's
you're not broken. You're just different.
I mean, it's more figuring out, not comparing what's normal. You're figuring out what's normal for you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you're... interactions may be different than, you know, the majority, but I doubt you're the only one.
Yeah, I mean, and don't feel bad that you're not, like, moping down in the dumps for months at a time after breakup, because, yeah, I think most of us have all been there, and it sucks. Mm-hmm. It's not something you want to experience.
Now, I will admit that if I was Velma, and if somebody I was breaking up with just pretty much didn't feel bad about us splitting up, then went and dated somebody else right away, I'd be kind of like,
yeah, wow, especially after being together for 5 years.
I was like, wow, I feel forgotten and, you know,
yeah,
but nothing special, blah, blah, blah.
Velma didn't write in, this guy did.
I know, I'm just saying that would be my main concern is like, that's a little fast, and at least on someone else on the recipient end might be going like, ow. So.
And this last one says, don't read this on air. So
we're done.
Yay.
Fiesta. All the fiesta.
Yes.
No fiesta spiders. So.
No.
Please, no fiesta spiders.
Wait, what?
Fiesta spiders?
Is this a reference to the clock spider?
No, that one really
derpy
live show we did.
Yeah, that was the clock spider thing.
No, it's a different thing.
Oh, okay. Sarah and I are thinking one thing, you're thinking something else. But...
oh, right. I just remembered a video. See, so I did the
a Let's pinata Play. Pinata full of spiders.
No, I did the Let's Play of Shovel Knight.
Uh-huh.
But I cut it down to success, basically getting to play through the game.
Yeah.
And then the last video I loaded was all my deaths into one 19-minute video. Dying in stupid ways, and that went live tonight.
It's a PR guitar man.
And I just I got a comment on it. I was actually trying to pull up the Adam and Eve ad copy.
Oh, okay.
Because the 50% off one item code, it's only good until the 14th. Use our coupon code NOT at adamandeve.com and get 50% off one item, a bunch of extra, like a thing for you, a guy thing, a girl thing, a DVD. It's closer to our original deal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So if you use our coupon code NOT until Valentine's Day 2014, you'll get the better deal.
Maybe put that out over Twitter.
Yeah. After that, it goes back to the, like, you get extra goodies, but no discount.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
You know what? With Fiesta coming up, we really can, we'll have all these artists, and we can get the 2 little bits of art we need commissioned, so we could just set up our Patreon. That would be great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm making a mess. I'm bumping the mic.
So adamandeve.com, buy some dongs, and hopefully after Fiesta we'll have the art assets and whatnot to set up our Patreon, so you don't have to buy dongs. You can just donate like $4 a month, and
yay,
we can drop woo-hoo ads and replace some of this ancient equipment that's like starting to wear out in places.
Mm-hmm.
That would be nice.
Yes.
So on that note, good night.
And big balls.